Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, some interesting stuff going on right now on ESPN. Monica McNutt says that Wemby is going to get a star to go along with him. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Although San Antonio is not a great market, San Antonio has quite the winning history, and playing with Wemby, you can win. They didn't this year, but if you've got a good player,
I wouldn't waste any time with. Like for me, Wemby has a chance to be special. I wouldn't waste any time with it. I would make my build out more aggressive. Now I'm not doing anything stupid. I mean, you're not doing, I'm going all in. No, but you do want to make aggressive moves to get 25-year-olds on his team, 24-year-olds like a Jalen Green type.
That was rather specific.
For example.
So you want to trade Green to the
No, they
Spurs?
Don't have anything I want. But you would like to find, you know, kind of a joke, but you do want to find somebody who you consider to be a really good second, probably a good second scorer. So, yeah, I'd be more aggressive with Wemby, surrounding him with some maybe one veteran and one key component, key core player this year. Start maybe like that. We'll see. They got a good build-out.
What about what Malik Monk said? I'm taking off like a rocket.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind that piece. I mean, if you're not going to add a huge star, if you're going to stay with what you got here.
Well, you know, this has become, so social media has become a place where you erase people off your bio to create some drama, but you also do like Trevor Bauer. Any of you guys seen, did the Astros sign Trevor Bauer yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, because a lot of fuss sure was made when he grabbed an Astro hat out of a lid store or whatever. Like, oh, it's a sign. No, it's what he wants to happen.
And there's also people, non-accredited people who, you know, have Astros accounts and their whole personality is talking to the Astros, who are saying he had a workout, a bullpen for them.
Yeah.
But you can find anyone who, you know, covers the team on a daily basis, a credit journalist who said that happened.
But no, that's fine. But he grabbed a hat and everyone thought he was going to be an Astro. I'm sure he would love to be on a major league roster. Absolutely. I'm sure he'd love to be there. And, you know, truth be told, probably he should be on one. But it's the major leagues, you know, it's up to them whether or not they want him on there. And apparently they don't want him on there. But if you want to, you know, if Malik Monk wants to, if he and his agent are like, we need to get to the Rockets, that would be a great spot for you. Okay, we'll put something on IG. Let's get the fans excited about this. It doesn't mean Malik Monk is and maybe he just means he's just going to take off this year and play really, really well. I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with the Houston Rockets. Well, he did average 15.4 points a game this year. Shot 35% from three. You know, pretty decent assists. He is that combination guard. He's a shooting guard, but he averaged five assists a game. So he's, you know, he can play the swing guard, but that's kind of, I mean, you got a wing player in Cam Whitmore. I mean, I don't know. Malik Monk wouldn't be the worst player. You're starting to stockpile. I mean, we're going to have Jalen Green. We're going to have Fred VanVleet. You're already going to have Cam Whitmore. If you were to add a Malik Monk, Amen Thompson, depending on how you want to play him, like start to jam up a lot of players. Not sure where minutes are coming for everybody. I've already said that before. I think adding players, and then you're going to add another player in the draft, and you're going to have 10 guys who really deserve minutes. And we'll see if they can keep everyone happy.
Well, and there's a lot of Reed Shepard talk right now. Somebody tweeted yesterday, look at the Celtics starting lineup. Who is he going to cover? like, I don't know that we're building this team right now to beat the Celtics at this point of our lives, but he's got a bit of a point. But you still do need shooting. And, you know, with you got a couple of bigs that they could take, Klingon for one. Yeah, but you got Steven Adams and you got Alperen.
I find that funny. I mean, look, well, I think Adams has 1 year left on his deal. I think Adams is one and done. So I'm not building a team for 1 year. Like, Steven Adams is going to be one and done. I think he's an enforcer. I think he's a big body banger. I wouldn't get too locked up in Steven Adams because I don't know that he's, you know, he could end up being a trade piece at midseason. But when you look at, somebody says, well, how, you know, Reed Shepard, how in the world are you going to beat Boston? How can you cover Boston? Okay, now do the other side. I've noticed people love to focus on defense when they want to tell you a player can't be a good player, but they don't focus on, well, Alperen can't do this and that. Well, either can Luka, and Luka's one of the best players in the world and tremendously impactful. Well, Reed Shepard, how's he going to guard the Celtics? Well, the Celtics got there because they're one of the premier three-point shooting teams in the league. Like, it's a convenient argument on a player. I'm not saying I want Reed Shepard, but it's a really convenient argument when you just say, well, how's he going to guard? But you don't focus on the strength that also got the Celtics where they were, which is tremendous three-point shooting.
Well, the strength
and volume shooting, by the way.
Well, the strength is coupled with, they have two wings who can guard. They have two backcourt guys who can guard, and they have a rim protector. And they can all guard. And Porzingis. I guess the point is, like John said, who are we building to beat this Celtics team? When the Rockets are ready, who knows what that Celtics team will look like anyway? But the whole 16 game player versus 82 game player, because your flaws get picked apart. Now it took to the finals, but Luka's inability to stay in front of people got picked apart. It happens when you get to the highest level. So I don't like Reed Shepard for different reasons as far as taking him at three, but it ain't because of a hypothetical matchup with the Celtics that probably won't happen in the way they're constituted today. I think that approach is silly, but I will take into account, is this a guy you think, are you picking a guy at three that you think can start for you in playoff games? That I would think about it that way, not the Celtics specifically. And if Reed Shepard isn't one of those guys, I'm not taking a role player who's a great shooter. Can he create his own shot on the NBA level? Is he going to need screens? Is he a great ball handler?
Who is in this draft that could? That's the problem. For the Rockets?
Well,
I think okay, so we
maybe
talk
they like
about
Stephen Castle. Maybe they like him as a Castle, future point guard. I don't know.
Well, that's the deal. Is okay if Steven Adams only going to be here a year? Okay, Fred VanVleet's only going to be here a year or two. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But so, is Reed Shepard a starting point guard or an off guard?
Castle.
Who you're gonna? Okay, yeah, Stephen. Yeah, maybe you take a Castle who you think in a year or two, whenever Fred VanVleet's time is up, he is your future point guard that you can roll with for the next decade plus. That's what I'm looking at. I don't think Reed Shepard is a starting player in the NBA unless he converts to point guard, which I'm not sure he has those skills.
I don't know.
He's an undersized two right now, and I don't like that at three.
I don't either, and. The thing with Klingon is when you look at him, if we're going to get out of guard thing, this is why I think Klingon would make sense at three, is because Steven Adams to me is a 1 year guy. And Klingon is kind of, you know, if you want to make a comp, a relatively easy comp is Clint Capella. I mean, Clint Capella was a rim protector, guy who could catch lobs and dunk, guy who could block shots, needed to fill out a little bit body type wise, but he came from overseas and had no professional experience. Klingon has championship experience on the college level, can block shots, can rim run, can do all that stuff. So he would make sense as the defensive alternative for, and he's an athletic player who can maneuver off of high screen and roll attempts to create, you know, to isolate him. So I think, and he's a backside shot blocker. Like, he actually does make a lot of sense for the Rockets. I was thinking about the, literally just today, I was thinking about the fact that the Rockets, you know, how do you build championship teams? There's different ways to build it. And the Celtics built it through, yes, two primary players, but they had Derek. I mean, they have players who really do their job with the Celtics. They have a lot of a blend of bringing in the right veterans at the right time, just like the Astros did with Justin Verlander. It's not that dissimilar. And maybe you want to look at the Astros model. You can look at it apples to apples with a basketball model if you want. But I don't think the idea of a big three is dying away. That's kind of dying. That's not, it's not something that makes a lot of sense to get three guys in their prime, because you end up with no money for anyone else. And the big two model is considered the best model. But I don't think it's crazy to use the old Pistons model where you had Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace and Tayshaun Prince and Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton. You had a bunch of guys, and then you had a good bench. You had, or even the Spurs model. You consider it a big three, but the Spurs had really good players all over the court that just fit together. I think the best way for the Rockets to approach this is go with the players, you know, the talented players you have, figure out who the truly best are, maybe move some of the other players for the right types of players for what you're looking for, find a player who can really defend two different positions, find a guy that's a really good shooter. But you may need to, you got to figure out who your core seven or eight is going to be, and then you, I think then you maybe move other pieces to get where you fine-tune the roster to have exactly what it is that you need. I'm not sure that the Rockets roster, as it's constructed right now, I still think they're going to be digging around to find the right connection of players. I love the talent they have right now. I'm not sure if they got to get somebody who can really shoot, but they also have to make sure that defensively they can be a more consistent defensive unit. So,
all right. I know where you can bet on who the Rockets are going to take in the draft. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 is the place to play, win, and get paid. If you're looking for the best way to get that bet on, okay, with a bonus for your first ever sign-up, they will bonus you more money to play with. Who does that? Your bookie is not doing that. Your local bookie just isn't doing that. MyBookie.ag, it's what they do, okay? You can do that. You can play live. Okay, gambling. If you miss the beginning of the game, that's okay. You got a lot of, in a lot of games, you got live betting, and not only that, but you also have where you can get out of a parlay early. You can cash out early. There's all kinds of advantages to go with MyBookie. You can play with a live dealer, a blackjack dealer, a roulette dealer, craps, whatever it is. You can do it all at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.
.com/JOY.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Last night, I'm watching the Guardians and Mariners. And I'm looking, and I'm like, see, this is, we really have to be careful about this. We have the umpire tracker that you know, oh, he missed 23 calls, and he was a terrible umpire, and they're judging him by how many strikes and balls that he missed. J.P. Crawford is at the plate. J.P. Crawford, he stands fairly straight up, okay? If you crunch down, okay, I can see it, but he stands fairly straight up. The box wasn't even touching his belt. So he, dude, Cleveland, BB, throws it, I mean, just above the box. And J.P. France, two right in a row. Now, the first one was a little bit higher, but I still thought it was a strike. I mean, what happened to the letters
gone forever.
Well, but this is I'm telling you, the box that they had last night in this game was ridiculously small.
You thought the superimposed box was?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? One,
that's what we have to be conscious of when we're doing this, is that, is the box right? Because Jose Altuve's box is not the same as Aaron Judge's box.
Well, that's just personal. I think the umpire scores comes off of True StatCast, which is, I think that's maybe Hawkeye technology. So that's something a little bit different than what we're talking about on TV, I believe. But I'm not sure. Maybe they're directly tied. I don't know.
I'm auditor.
I mean, Major League Baseball has a way to take a look at that. So I don't know if that is what we see as fans or the same as what Major League Baseball has. If not, it's just, you know, the only impact it truly has is fan outrage and fan anger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and listen, when we do have instant replay, it's going to go oh, he missed the play. Well, where's the box? Where is the box? I mean, everything now is for hitters, and there's still only 220 hitters in the league. I mean, and everything is to create more offense in the game, and yet in the smaller box, that box last night was minuscule. It was from the knees to below his belt. I was like, no, J.P. Crawford, you're out. Go sit down. He got tossed from the game. Mm-hmm. Scott Servais came out there, who's a jerk, and I was happy. I was happy that the Mariners lost, and the Astros are right back in the thick of this thing now.
Okay.
While the Astros were kicking ass.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. We'll play that little game. That's fine.
No. I mean, okay, what? How many behind are there now? Just eight? This is exactly what
you
I was
wish.
Telling you.
It's nine.
It's still nine, but they won last night.
Yeah, it was 10.
Wait, it was 10?
Yeah, they were behind by 10 games.
It's like we're losing 1.5 games every day.
Well,
it's,
the Mariners weren't losing.
Seems like it's not possible. Are the Mariners playing doubleheaders every game?
No, they were just sweeping the Rangers.
Yeah, but who's in second place in the division? Well, tied for second.
So you're not even by yourself in second.
But you have a run differential of plus 5, while the Rangers have minus 16.
And if this was the World Cup group stage, that would matter. If you were playing soccer and it was a group stage, that would matter. But right now, it doesn't. Mm. Do you know the Mariners only have a plus 14 run differential and they're 9 games up on you?
How about that? And they're 12 games over 500.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Do we know what that is? That's baseball.
That's there it is. Baseball. There he is again. Mr. Baseball 2, once again saying that's just baseball, and he nailed it. Dell nailed it. He's really starting to get a handle on baseball.
Respect my knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just say, hey, look, you know.
Just tip your cap to me.
You tip your cap. This the season. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. There's lots of things that could still happen. You can continue to say that, being down 9 games. But you look at Hunter Brown coming around. The bullpen didn't screw anything up. So, you know, you're taking care of this White Sox team. That's all you wanted to do was try to beat the White Sox after they, you know, shut you out with only 2 hits under their own belts.
Mm-hmm. They scored their 2 runs off a weak grounders that were fielder's choice. Yeah. What a pathetic way to lose a game.
Man, if you take that out of the equation, we'd already be up 2 games on the White Sox.
You don't know the Astros would have scored in that game at all.
No, I don't know that they ever would have scored. I don't know that for a fact.
And you know what? A couple of the Hunter Brown hits were just flares and just, you know, ground balls.
Man, he looks like he's in command. I will say, Hunter never struck me as a guy who looked rattled on the mound necessarily. I mean, other than where the pitch location ended up going when he was really bad. But he never looked jittery. Like, there were times where Lance McCullers, you could tell when he wasn't as confident. And when he was really confident, you could tell that too. With Hunter Brown, he's always had, I think, pretty good mound presence. But what he's starting to do now, I'm really getting excited about the fact that I guess we just can't. There's nothing really coming. You know, McCullers and Garcia, when it happens, I'll be excited if they're both pitching well. But if and until that happens, you just can't get too excited about that. But you just hope that Ronel Blanco and Hunter Brown, these are the two you're hoping can keep the season afloat right now. So we'll see. Looks good for both those guys so far. They're on good runs without question. Ronel Blanco, it'd be great if, can you imagine 30-year-old pitcher who just has very little background in Major League Baseball make the All-Star game off of the strength of this year? That would actually be a really cool story for him.
Do you think the suspension will hurt him?
No. For spider attack? No. No.
Right.
No, or whatever it was? Oh, absolutely not. It won't hurt him. What will hurt him is that the Astros, he's not going to be the only Astro. So you're already going to have Kyle Tucker is leading in votes, Yordan's leading in votes, and Altuve's leading in votes. So, you know, if one or two of those guys make it, they may go with someone else. It may not be Blanco. I would say Blanco's a little bit of a, right now, maybe a little bit of, I don't know if I want to say long shot to make it, because his numbers are better than that, but I would say Ronel Blanco right now, I give him about a 30% chance of making an All-Star team.
Yeah, but listen, Kyle Tucker might not be there because of the injury. He hasn't been there forever. Yordan now has disappeared for a couple of games. It sure would be nice to have him back. You know, what with Cooper Hummel in the lineup, that would be really nice to have Yordan Alvarez in the lineup as opposed to Cooper Hummel. And boy, were they smart bringing up Salazar, because boy, they needed him last night.
Salazar, and Hummel, Nick Hernandez. It's a little different Astros team right now.
No. Well, when you lose as many guys as they have to all these arm injuries, and it's just incredible. This is, and you know what? And I don't really think it's all to blame. You know, they're six games under 500. At the end of this season, if they don't do anything, they're probably going to go, well, look at all our injuries. No, you had a lot of guys who didn't live up to what they should have been doing. He had a lot of guys that...
Well, okay, name somebody.
Jose Abreu.
Well, and he's gone.
Yiner isn't the catcher you thought he was going to be.
It's not...
No, he's Lance. He's one of the worst in... he's the worst framer of a baseball in all of baseball.
He's not... It's not ideal.
No.
No, as a defensive catcher, he's got a good arm, but... In terms of framing a baseball, he's not good.
Chaz has not been what. Bregman, for most of the season, has not been what.
No, but Jake has.
The bullpen has not been what. You had Presley. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
Even the Jake Myers thing has turned. He was good yesterday, but in the month of June, he was hitting like under 150.
And Pena went on a bit of a, you know, Yiner's going on a bit of a, all of them. I mean, they just have not lived up to. There's a lot of guys. Well, Altuve is 700 OPS. He's not, you know, he's not the Jose Altuve that we're used to carrying a team. Not yet, anyway. I mean, we're not even halfway through, so. But they got to step up, and it's not just. Listen, they still have had good pitchers on the mound. Framber has had his troubles. Hunter Brown went through some troubles. Javier, Verlander. And then the bullpen was a disaster for a while. So, yeah, it's not just the injuries. They've had a lot of guys that just haven't stepped up this year. 713-780-3776 is the number. You want to get in here? Come on. I want to talk about Chastang Ford. I want to talk about the Chastangs, who I love. I love dealing with the Chastangs, and I think you will too. If you've never met them, you can go and introduce yourself. Patrick is right there near the showroom. You can ask to say hi to him. Chances are he might get into the deal. He's going to make sure that his people, there's a philosophy at Chastang Ford. He's going to make sure that his people are going to stay and strictly adhere to that policy. And that's not markup, not add-on, not pressure. No. What is the vehicle that you need to be in? What is the payments? What are the payments that you have to be at? What are you looking for in a vehicle? And let's get you in it with all the rebates we can possibly get at the best price that we can possibly get. It's what happened with me. It'll happen with you. I promise you. It is the best car buying experience in the city. ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am live in Las Vegas at the Tony was here. By the way, John Chill not going to be joining us this morning here on the show from Lake Charles. So, we are just going to have – he had something else that he had to do. So I just wanted to remind you about the annual Ultimate Football Challenge starting July 5th here at the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas. Come to Vegas, put up $1,000. You pick 7 games a week. Could be college or pro. And there's a big, big prize pool. Big prize pool. A couple $100,000 in it. 216, I believe he said. And 20% of the people win money. So – you could win big if you know how to pick games, but you got to come here initially to sign up. and it starts, the sign-up starts July 5th. So get on over here to the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, if you like doing this kind of stuff. That's cool, picking seven games. You got to pick seven winners against the spread, but it could be pro or college. And usually it's just pro. In this case, you're doing, usually it's just five games, but this is seven. And whoever has the best winning percentage at the end of the year wins the grand prize. That's cool. 713-780-3776. Ryan is here. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Love the show. Got a quick question. I need some advice from y'all. My company has offered to relocate me to one of two different cities, and I wanted to get y'all's advice on which one you'd prefer, Nashville or Phoenix. Both are coming with the same pay raise, same relocation system, same job opportunity, but I've only been to each city one time, and I just want to get y'all's feedback on which you think would be a better option for a 32-year-old single guy, no kids, no wife.
Didn't we have that? Awesome. Didn't this question come up before? With two different, with one of them was Chicago and another one. I thought we've had this question, but Nashville is, if you can stand the heat, a lot of people love Phoenix.
I lived in Phoenix for about 3 years when I first moved out, and it was awesome. Phoenix is beautiful. You do have to put up with the heat, but you also got perfect weather year round. I mean, in the winter, it is awesome. In the summer, it's really, really hot, but it's a dry heat. But, I don't know anything about Nashville. Do you?
Yeah, Nashville's great. I was there 3 years ago for the I've been to Nashville, I think, two or three times. Nashville's a really up-and-coming city, or it's already been at the food scene, the music scene. You're talking about there's a lot of people who come in to visit. If you're single... I mean, if you're single with no kids, Nashville's pretty strong. That's one a lot of people would, in your position who live there, would recommend that. Nashville's, a lot of it is going to depend on how you deal with heat. I mean, Nashville has four seasons, but it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot too, but not 100. Phoenix is 111. My dad really liked Phoenix. We also just coached and stayed in a hotel, but he was able to deal with the heat, but. You know, you got to deal with 111, 115. I mean, it stays hot for a long time. You got to deal with that. But I've heard a lot of really good things about Phoenix, too, and other areas of it. I don't know. I can't really speak to Phoenix. I do know Nashville, and I know that Nashville's really, like I said, Nashville's a very up-and-coming and really already established city for someone your age who... has no kids and no wife. I think you could have a good time in Nashville.
I moved there when I was 24 after college into Phoenix. And if I could do one thing over again, I would have gone to Arizona State.
And not
because
get married the first
it
time.
Was holy crap. Holy crap.
What's that, John?
Yeah.
Well, you think
what?
Arizona State surpasses Knox?
Imagine that.
So,
if you're going after college girls, that dude's 32. Yeah. He's not trying to.
Wait a minute. If Belichick can do it, anyone can do it.
No, I'm not saying, but sometimes you just like, sometimes you like finding somebody, maybe a little closer.
Well, let's say a grad student.
Well, they have older women there, too.
A grad student could be 24, 25.
Yeah, and they have older women there, too.
Well, same thing with Nashville. And you have people who come from out of town who will also to visit, but, and they also leave.
But also,
which is good.
The women,
Phoenix too.
True. Some of the women who go to Arizona State are natives, and they'll stay. So they're going to be attractive in their mid-20s and late-20s too. Ryan will be fine in Phoenix if he so chooses.
Why are y'all trying to send him to a million-degree temperature?
Maybe
you're the only
heat.
One that's scared.
No.
You're scared.
I'm not scared. I just recognize that sometimes heat sucks.
No, heat, recognize heat, okay?
Yes.
Maybe Ryan bringing that heat.
Dude, yep. I was sweating so bad last night getting out of the concert. Not inside the venue, mind you. That was no problem. Outside waiting for my car, and I looked at dew point, 77. Yeah, might as well have been on the surface of, not the sun.
Wasn't it raining last night?
No, it wasn't raining last night. We were already done with that.
No, it was raining where I was.
Was it last night? We were done by
the... If we had some rain this week...
Yeah, you wouldn't know John Cruise. You wouldn't know John Cruise.
What happened to the tropical
storm? It went more southwest. I mean, we got plenty of rain yesterday, but we did not. We did not flood.
Oh, so
and we're fine now. We're back into.
So I'm not Ted Cruz then.
Well, okay. you fled
I didn't
before
abandon
you
the city.
And look at look at what God did to you. Boom, smite.
You've been smited, John.
You've been smited. Look at you. God smited you for this leaving the city move you always do.
Oh, God.
When the going gets tough, the tough go on a gambling vacation.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I haven't even been able to play much.
Mm-hmm.
It's been terrible.
You've been punished for your crimes.
I have no crimes.
Crimes against humanity.
Crimes against the city. You have failed the city, John.
I have not failed. I am not Ted Cruz. I didn't go to Cabo when there was a storm coming.
But you have gone. Or was that
no.
PV? Which one did you go? I forgot. Which one did you go to?
I can't remember.
He's dying.
Listen to him. This is great.
It's really bad, dude. It's really bad.
Yeah, he's smiting you. This is how I know God is real, because he's tired of all the crap that you've been doing. And
what
he's like,
crap?
You know what? We're just going to do something small. Just going to completely incapacitate him in Las Vegas. See how he likes it.
Yeah, well, he did it. You know, this happened to me a couple of years ago, too. I guess I go too hard or too long. Last weekend we were going late and going hard, and I just wore out.
Maybe become self-aware a little bit.
No,
you can't put your body through that over and over again. Expect to be okay.
Look, Verlander knows this neck thing. I got to take a little time. I can't just keep pitching through this. It's starting to wear on me. I'm not a young pitcher anymore. I got to, you got to learn to manage your minutes a little bit. Somebody needs to put you on some load management. If there's someone at this station who needs load management, it's you.
You're right. No, I'm with you on this one. I am totally with you on this one. I could use some load management right now. I could use some antibiotics is what I could use.
Well, YouTube has told me this is healing, so let's see if this makes you feel better. Three hours of healing music.
I'll take it. Can I stop talking now?
I mean, maybe you play it when after the show. You have about an hour 15 left or so. You play this after the show. Maybe it'll make you feel better. It tells me it's supposed to heal.
Gregorian chant heals?
3 hours of healing music. That's what it says.
John is not he knows.
No, I don't need anything in my ears. Trust me. I don't need anything.
Don't
as soon as the show is over, boom, on the couch.
Out.
Coors Light and pair of jacks. Played your jacks too strong.
Read the scripture, not the dealer.
Read the player, not the cards.
Why are you putting your male gaze on the dealer?
Maybe you two should just do the last hour by yourself. Why don't you talk about Vanderbilt?
They are flight attendants, not stewardesses. What does he have to do?
Vanderbilt Air.
Okay.
Say that thought, though, Dell. I feel like there's a lot of meat left on that bone. And I never thought I was going to hear you do Gregorian chant today. I did not wake up thinking, what if Dell's going to do some Gregorian chant? Hey, I want to talk about Vanderbilt Air, because the air conditioning situation, look, it's on us now. There's no way around it. So you better be strong with the AC game. And if you need somebody to take a look at what's going on with yours, if you need somebody to go through the checkup for you, it's Vanderbilt Air. Vanderbilt Air is a trustworthy company owned and operated by the Vanderbilt family. And the great thing about this with Robert and his staff is the checkup is and the tune-up is really great, because for the tune-up price, you'll get additional Freon put in the system if that's what you need. But they go through everything to make sure everything is working correctly. They check all the heat management, heat load rather, in all the different rooms of your house to make sure you're getting the cooling that you need. If there is something that needs to be replaced or fixed that will get your air conditioner running at the rate it's supposed to, they will give you a price on that. They'll tell you exactly what it is and get you ready to go. If you know that you may need a new air conditioning system, they can price that for you. They've got financing available. But the great thing is when you have a new unit that is an efficient unit, that is a unit made for the size of your home and the type of home that you have, the great thing there is that you're going to be able to cool your house actually for less money. You'll feel it cooling, number one, and it will be much more comfortable. But the other thing is you're going to be able to run your air conditioner less because it's working properly. So make sure that Vanderford Air is a phone call that you make if you know that you need your air conditioner tuned up. It's 281-557-COOL. That's 281-557-COOL.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Man, did you see this video of Darius Morris, the former Laker? He is not a good guy. He literally beat the snot out of his girlfriend. I mean, she's got black eyes and it is awful, and there's a video of it, and dude ain't never playing. They ain't never playing in the league again. I mean, just ugly, ugly stuff.
Who?
I mean, God, Darius Morris.
He just died of heart disease.
Darius Morris?
There might be multiple guys named Darius Morris.
Who played for the Lakers?
Yeah.
The San Antonio Spurs?
Well, he was caught on video. No, he's. I think he's still alive, Lance. Are you sure it's Darius Morris?
I don't know. Guy named Darius Morris, dead at 33. Former Laker, happened 2 days ago. Two days ago. Former player Darius Morris, death revealed, coronary heart disease, drugs and alcohol contributed.
No, he's still alive, this one. Played for the Lakers. There's another Darius Morris that played for the Lakers?
Yeah. Well, this is about dates. It's the same guy, but this happened back in 2021, which you're referencing, John.
Oh, it did?
Yes.
Clipper.
Yeah, it might have come
out. Oh, somehow, I see. Oh.
But it happened in 2021. So, yes, he did do that, but he also is now dead.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
The Athletic must have had that video out.
I think it might have been.
But that's the thing. You saw it on Twitter, I guarantee you. People just recirculate, and you find out. How often are we finding out how old things are? Like, there's a video you saw, and somebody just pulled it back out. I wonder why they – probably because he died, and somebody just pulled it back out. So, yeah, this is what he was also did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reporting, John, like Lance said, 5 days ago, heart disease, and I'm sure someone, don't feel bad for him, because then people pull out what he did.
Oh, that's what that was about. Okay.
Probably so, yeah.
Probably so. Did you see the baseball fight with the guy, the pitcher beating the catcher with the bat?
Yeah, he swung the bat. Was that in Japan?
Man. No. This was a Latin American country.
Yeah, Latin American country, okay. Because it wasn't minor leagues, but yeah, the hitter, the catcher tried to, the pitch ended up going behind the guy, or did it hit him in the butt? The pitch was behind him, basically. And a lot of hitters know, okay, if you're doing that, you're when you throw behind somebody, that's a sign of ultimate disrespect. And this catcher immediately went to get the, as soon as the pitch came in, the hitter turned with the bat in just his right hand and kind of pump fake like he was going to hit him. And then the catcher kind of flinching out of the way. And then he did swing and hit him in the back. And it turned into a little, It turned into a dust up. I didn't see full scale brawls breaking out, but it got a little, as you can imagine, with somebody getting hit by a bat. So what happens here is that, I mean, that's got to be a big suspension. You hit somebody with a bat.
Oh yeah,
it was in the back, but still, he swung at him another time too.
Right, and this is on the heels of Willie Mays dying, and I don't know why, but they kept showing Juan Marichal beating Johnny Roseboro with the bat. Right.
Right. What happened to him? I mean, back then you didn't get.
I don't remember what kind of suspension he got.
I mean, you could punch a player in the NBA and still keep playing.
That game.
In the 80s. In the 80s, you could punch, I think in the 90s, you could punch somebody and still You know, it's double check.
Yeah. I mean, well, and you could, well, no, the Rudy T thing, that was suspension.
Well, no, yeah, that was different.
Yeah. John Rahm came to Rory McIlroy's defense. He goes, you know, if he'd have missed that putt on the high side, it would have rolled off the green. So y'all are, you don't know how hard those putts were that he was trying to make. It was ridiculous. Of course, Rahm didn't play because he had to pull out because of a foot injury. But this is like the age of Bryson DeChambeau. I'm watching him right now. There's a video of him. He's standing outside of this store, and everybody's coming up to him. And he talked about why he signs autographs. His dad worked at a golf course, and all these pros came, and they signed autographs of him. And so there's a video of him out there. Your boy Jeff sent me. He's working out. He's working out with his pen to bring it. He's on the weight machine, and he's bringing his pen to sign something. And then he's working out trying to his fist pump. And this is, boy, you want to talk about a guy who has turned the appeal of him around, Bryson DeChambeau. People were actually rooting for, I can't believe it. I thought for sure that would have been rooting for Rory, but they started USA champs up. This is a guy.
It is the U.S. Open, though.
It is the U.S. Open, but it's also a guy who went and took all the money from the Saudis.
Yeah, USA don't. What we found about golf fans is they don't care, apparently.
I mean, well,
look at the U.S. Open, and you're up in the Northeast.
They actually do, because not a lot of people are going out to watch live.
Yeah, I don't think it's because they don't want to. It's because they just think it's lesser. It's like spring football.
Right, right.
The LIV is the UFL of golf.
Well, except with a lot of
except
players.
Except with great players.
Playing. Yeah, right.
Phenomenal players. But I hope that they're happy with ruining golf as we knew it. It was great having all the major events. It's great seeing everyone back together playing. But, man, you want to talk about, I mean, can you imagine if the Saudis, oh, by the way, holy crap. Bearing the lead here, I talked to somebody from a collective from a college football team who told me PIF has already been digging around on buying into the SEC. Like I said that as a joke, and the guy goes, "Oh no, it's already been something that last year they were looking into it because they see the SEC with the amount of eyes on the on television, the amount of you know." They see a tremendous amount of potential for getting in and somehow putting money into the SEC. The Saudis putting money into the SEC. They've already gotten golf, and now they bought boxing, too. They're already getting boxing. And we already have NBA players who are afraid to speak out against China and what's happened with Hong Kong. You're not allowed to do that. And now you've got Saudi money that is they're trying to infiltrate college football. I mean, are you kidding me? What in the world? How quickly have we dovetailed to where we're spinning out of control? You're going to take Saudi money that is intended to whitewash or however you what is it called that you
sports wash.
You're trying to sports wash some of the atrocities of what the Saudi government has done, and now they're trying to. They better not take any of the PIF money in college football. I mean. It's one thing for an individual to make a decision if he wants in golf. It's another for you to throw that decision. I think it's probably a long shot, but my guess is if it happened, you'd have a lot of people who say they're against it, and then they just say, well, if we can get money for the players, I don't mind it. Who cares? And we've got a bad government too. But, man, I said that as a joke, as a worst-case scenario, and apparently they've already been sniffing around. Because that's what, you know, you open the door for that now with advertising and NIL. So we'll see. We'll see if PIF, which is the fund that has billions in it. I mean, they can, if they want to make it about money, they can be involved in damn near anything.
Absolutely. All right, let's break. When we come back, Tom Brady had a bit of, and it wasn't directly at C.J. Stroud. It wasn't aimed directly at him. But it's something that he needs to think about because there's a stat with Stephon Diggs, that is kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about GimmeTheVin.com, John Clay Wolf. you know, he's always said, you know, I will give you $100. And I finally found someone that he gave $100 to. He's not afraid, okay? He beats CarMax all the time. But he says, if I can't beat CarMax's deal, I will send you $100. Well, I found a guy. I know him, Michael. I know him well. And he was like, yeah, I sold my Jeep. And CarMax gave me more. And it was just ridiculous. And John Glenwell said, okay, nope. You can, here's your $100. And so he got another $100 out of it. That's great. So here's the deal, is that's exactly the point. Is there's one place that you have to go if you're selling your car, because you want to know what it's worth. And if you get another, you want another $100 for nothing? Yeah. Okay, John Clay Wolf can't beat the deal. He's going to send you another $100. But you know what's going to happen? He's going to beat the deal. So always, 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 if you're selling your car, go to givemethevin.com.
ESPN 97.5.